Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday, March 19th. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Kate Ariano, and I'm here to give you the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. But before I do, I just want to give a quick shout out to my sister, Lauren. It's her 19th birthday today, and she's unfortunately spending it back home in quarantine. Lauren, I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. UConn announced Wednesday its plans to proceed with an in-person graduation ceremony for both the classes of 2020 and 2021 at Rentschler Field between May 8th and May 12th. According to Taylor Harton of the Daily Campus, President Thomas Katsalaeus also said that to reaffirm the school's commitment to safety and choice, the in-person ceremonies will also be live-streamed. United States Secretary of Education and UConn alum Miguel Cardona will virtually address the graduates of the Class of 2021 ceremony on May 8th. Meanwhile, the Class of 2020 will have two separate ceremonies on a first-come, first-served basis. Students should be on the lookout for RSVP emails in the coming weeks. Each student will get 3 tickets, and for students who will not be attending graduation, they can still RSVP and give their share of tickets to a fellow student. Earlier this month, the Student Union Board of Governors hosted a virtual Rocket League tournament for UConn students, offering up Apple AirPods and a $50 gift card for the first place prize. WHUS News correspondent Jonathan Kapeliovich reports that, for those of you who have never heard of Rocket League before, Business Insider describes it as soccer, but with rocket-powered cars. The tournament was part of Subog's effort to reach out and grow the esports community at the school. John Perez Moreno is the Subog sports chair, and he says, "We were hit with everything virtually, and I was brainstorming different ideas, and I'm like, why not add esports, where people can virtually do sports?" One of the positive aspects of esports is that they are easy to play while social distancing. All you need is a computer. Moreno says he's interested in adding different games to future tournaments. The long-awaited Huskython Night of Celebration is happening this weekend. Thomas Alvarez reports for the Daily Campus that the event will take place both March 20th and March 21st from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. Mitchell Lazowski, the Vice President of Communications for Huskython, said that it was challenging to have to make changes for COVID-19, but the leaders of the dance marathon worked to ensure that the events would be engaging for all participants. He says, "It was a big concern of ours to be able to engage such a large community in a primarily virtual world, but our amazing community never stopped showing their support of always being for the kids." Lazowski said one of the exciting virtual events planned is a Q&A session with Jason Derulo on Saturday, March 20th. The link to the live stream will be available to the general public, and students interested in the events can follow along on their Instagram at Huskython. The south side of Homer Babbage Library at the UConn Stores campus got a bit of a makeover thanks to a multi-phased renovation project. WHUS News correspondent Selena Daigle has the story.
Homer Babbage Library, sitting at the heart of the University of Connecticut Stores campus, is due for renovations. Built in 1978, the brick building has slowly expanded its seating capacity as the campus population has grown over the last 43 years. In 2015, however, a multi-phase plan to renovate the building was born. For the contractors to increase the library's seating capacity and make arrangements to the inside, a new exit had to be constructed to maintain safety protocol. This led to the creation of the seemingly out-of-place, enclosed staircase on the exterior south side of the library. Although some students believe the design and color scheme seem odd against the brick walls, there was clever reasoning behind the chosen material and color pattern. Gene Nelson, head of communications and engagement within the library,
"It was one of the least expensive ways to do it. They did try and make it so that it looks similar to a lot of the other newer buildings on campus, the color scheme being one of those things. And the intention is to take that color scheme and sort of incorporate it into the floors themselves a little better."
On the exterior of the stairwell are 5 colored vertical lines that start at the ground level, red, followed by orange, green, blue, and yellow on the top floor. Eventually, the ground level will have red accents within the signage, as well as some red incorporated into the tiles and carpets. The same will occur for each of the following floors as their interior begins to coincide with the color on the exterior addition. Nelson said they considered using the ground level of Homer Babbage Library to act as an area students can pass through, rather than walking around the building, to get to various places on campus, since the library sits almost at its center. Any additional furnishings to the library will occur on the interior and not the exterior, such as the new floors.
The staircase is definitely not the end all. The staircase was sort of the first step, which will allow us to make other changes.
Some UConn students aren't very content with the outcome. On the UConn Buy or Sell Facebook page, several UConn community members said that the addition appeared to be out of place and they felt as if the university could have spent that money elsewhere on more pressing matters on campus. Caitlin Stiles, a fourth semester history major, stated that, quote, "Not only does it look super weird, it's a waste of money we don't have," end quote. She added that had the staircase matched the brick building, it would not be so out of place. Although many students are frustrated with the idea that UConn must have spent so much money on this stairwell, it was in fact done in the cheapest way possible. With little funding from the start, the additions to the library are at a standstill. The initial funds given for the renovations to the university were used for the new stairwell on the south side of Homer Babbage. As of right now, UConn's project managers can only wait and hope that funding will soon come their way to remodel the interior of the building. From WHUS News, I'm Selena Daigle.
Before we move on, I had the opportunity last week to cover dog yoga at the UConn Rec with UConn Police Department resource officers Tildy and Carson. If you want to check out my photo gallery for some pawsome pictures of the yoga class, you can head on over to whus.org. Now I've got a weather forecast for this weekend. Today, the sun will start coming out as we move toward the afternoon, and we'll have a high near 38, with wind gusts reaching as high as 29 miles per hour in some places. Tonight will be mostly clear with less wind and a low around 21. Saturday will be bright and sunny with a high near 50, and Saturday night will remain clear with a low around 29. Moving on to Sunday, it'll be sunny once more with a high around 56, and Sunday night will be mostly clear with a low around 30. Last but certainly not least, listen up, UConn Huskies fans, because here is your sports roundup for the week. UConn women's basketball will play the first round of the NCAA tournament against the High Point Panthers on Sunday, March 21st at 8 p.m. The men's basketball team will have their first round game this weekend as well, playing the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday, March 20th at 7:10 p.m. UConn softball had a big win on Wednesday, beating the Rhode Island Rams 10-7. They'll play again this weekend against the Creighton University Blue Jays at 1-3 on Saturday and noon on Sunday. UConn baseball took a couple losses this Sunday and Monday against the Texas Tech Red Raiders, but they'll be back on the field today at 3, tomorrow at 2, and Sunday at noon against the St. Joseph's Hawks. We will be right back.
You're listening to WHUS Stores, 91.7 FM, UConn Sound Alternative.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut.
Today on Husky Nation News, I am talking to Andrew, who is our live productions director at WHUS. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So what is your year at UConn and what's your major? What are you studying?
I'm actually a senior environmental studies major.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. And what kinds of stuff do you get to study and do with that major?
It's pretty, it's a pretty broad major, honestly. I've taken it's a liberal arts major. So yeah, like I said, pretty broad. I've taken some cool plant science courses and stuff that I guess I kind of got access to because it's kind of partially also in the ag school, but it's mostly COAS stuff, so.
Gotcha. So yeah. First I want to talk about how you got involved with WHUS. Tell me about your story. How did you get started here?
Yeah, so actually I didn't start at UConn at Storrs campus. I started at the Waterbury campus, the regional campus. And I moved up sophomore year, second semester. And I don't know, I just when I was still at Waterbury, I was like, I need stuff to do at Storrs. So I was just looking at stuff and I was like, what sounds awesome. I've never done anything with radio, but I was just like, I might as well go do the training. So I went that summer, did the training. I had a show that semester, but I wasn't really too involved with the station because I didn't really know many people. But then, at the end of sophomore year, I found out about the studio sessions, which I forget the people who were, I forget the name of the person who was actively doing, in my position. But I reached out to them, whoever it was, and they were like, yeah, we don't need more volunteers right now, but I can put you on the waitlist for next year. And then that summer, Ryan Mahoney, who was the live director before me, he reached out and he told me that they had a session going on. It was like, it was either July or August, but you know, it was the middle of the summer basically. Mm-hmm. And it was Ryan, it was gonna be Ryan's first like session alone because he had gotten trained prior with some of the older, not older live production director, I think Brian Eldridge, who was someone active at the station that trained him. But anyway, so I met Ryan and we had this band in called Covet. They're kind of like a crazy instrumental rock band. And they're probably one of my favorite sessions we've had to date, but it was crazy because I showed up and like, I didn't know what I was doing, but Ryan walked me through everything. And it was, the session went great. Like I said, I think that's one of my favorite ones we've done till this day. And like from there, the semester came along, Ryan hit me up again and I was just helping him volunteer. I didn't have a job or a paid position or anything. I wasn't even doing a show that semester. I was just helping with the sessions. And I don't know, it's just so much fun. Like I love live music and I love being able to have, I loved when we were able to have bands in the studio. I think that's my biggest regret about the semester is that, you know, I don't like, as much as I love my position and everything, I get like all the opportunities I get at WHUS right now. It's just like, the bummer for me is like, I don't get that to do the aspect of this job that I really, really want to do, yeah. Which is like interact with like the bands and everything. And I mean, we still get to have a form of the sessions with just having solo performers in, which is kind of what we've been focusing on with the sessions in these past few semesters. But I mean, it's tough right now. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's a sentiment like a lot of people on the board have echoed, just the fact that it's just so tough to be able to carry on things as normal when everyone's like, just, you know, try and do it like normal.
I remember specifically in the summer leading up to like when I had just gotten hired and, you know, we had for the first initial board meetings, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what I could do or like get away with for the sessions. So I was just kind of like, I made all these plans and stuff and, you know, like some of them came through, like I'm so glad we got the sessions we did, especially last semester. Working with Casey was great. You know, he really helped me kind of put together some, like, especially the Charter Ghost one. I really enjoyed putting that one together. I mean, shout out Charter Ghost, Gustavo Colon. He's a great guy. He's contributed a lot to WHUS too, which I appreciate. Can you give me another question?
Yeah, I've got so much more. So
sometimes I just run out of things to say. My bad.
It happens. So I know that doing the live sessions is a large part of your position here at WHUS. Yep. What goes into doing a live session? And for those of you who don't know, it's kind of like a mini concert in the studio, but no one's there. And then it gets
plenty of radio stations do them, actually. But you know, I don't know if they all broadcast on the radio like we do. Like that's kind of an aspect of it that I really like, that we go live on the radio. Oh, you really?
Yeah.
They're always live when we have people, like, except with the exception of the ones we did for Husky Thon, but I mean, in my opinion, like with those ones, it was JR Specs and another rapper, Caprizen, both UConn based. And in my opinion, it's just like, it's probably better just for Husky Thon. On sake that we didn't broadcast them, but yeah, like we had talked about maybe doing like live streams with them this semester, but I just said I wanted to just keep everything, so it initially goes out on the radio and obviously we take the video of the session and you know, put that out after. Mm-hmm. But I think that's my favorite aspect of the production. Otherwise it's just like, I don't know, sometimes I love reaching out to bands, like when, like that's a big part of the job, is just talking to people. I sent so many emails and most of it, like I said, most of it this semester hasn't amounted to anything just because we are pretty limited in terms of like the scope of things we can do. But, you know, it's a lot of reaching out to people and just seeing what's up. And then from there, I pretty much handle the, like just all the audio production, like engineering stuff. So I set up all the mics and stuff and like, you know, I operate the board and do all the sound mixing stuff. And then usually I do the mix after, and then the multimedia person, who's the other person involved traditionally with the session, you know, they put the video together and they handle all the visual aspect, you know, like lighting and all that kind of stuff. And, oh, I was gonna say this before when I was talking about Ryan, I think another thing that kind of bums me out this semester is, you know, like how I came in and got involved with the sessions, like that whole like volunteer aspect is something that I really like about how we do our production. You know, it's like just whoever wanted to come in, like whoever was a staff member at WUS, and that if they want to come and show up and help out with the session, like it was kind of accepted that they just could. I mean, obviously this semester we don't have that many people coming to the station, so it's been, I haven't really been like reaching out to volunteers or anything, so that's kind of an aspect I've been missing this semester. I think I kind of wish I came up with something earlier on to kind of substitute for that volunteer aspect.
Yeah, getting that like one-on-one interaction, being able to train other people, especially since that's how like you made your come up. It sucks.
Exactly.
So, you know, hopefully the next live productions director for next year, they'll be able to learn from you and do all these things virtually.
I hope so, yeah.
In person. I don't know. I've got high hopes for next, I do too. Yeah. So how do you reach out to bands and where do you find them? Especially like this semester, how you said you can only do solo artists because of, you know, capacity limits in the WHUS studio. Where do you find these people? And are you fans of their music? Like, is it people that you listen to? Are you not always a fan of their music?
Yeah, I mean, this semester, like, I mean, there's always been that kind of element of it that's kind of like local Connecticut bands and stuff like that. I mean, it hasn't exclusively been that in the past just because, like, you know, they were reaching out to promoters and stuff. And I still get emails from promoters and stuff, but I haven't really reached out to any of those bands just because, like, I can't really, like, I just feel like kind of obligated to not be inviting people from all over, you know? Mm-hmm. As much as I wish, like I said, as much as I wish that I could, I just, like, I can't do it, unfortunately. And, so most of the people that I've reached out to this semester were either just like local musicians who I just happened to know about and thought would make a good solo performance, or, you know, and a lot of the people I had planned on reaching out to were just people who I knew were in Connecticut that I, like, if I got to do a whole band in the studio, that I would have wanted to reach out to. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, like I said, not many of those plans came to fruition.
Yeah.
I always go through my Google Drive and there's always all the past like schedules and stuff are put together. Mm-hmm. And like in there. And sometimes I look at mine and I feel like it's a little incomplete just because of how limited it is. But, you know, like I said, obviously there's all the restrictions and that kind of kept my hands tied.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, I'm happy with how my tenure in the position has gone, I guess, more or less.
Yeah. If there was anybody, like in a normal year, if you could bring anybody to the station, I'm talking even big name, like literally anybody.
Oh, wow, that's a good question.
Who would it be? Or a few people, you can't narrow it down.
There was one session we had last year that I wanted to bring them back. I don't know if they were for a live session. Maybe like, I was thinking about if we could do it, having them for an event, but I never really said anything about it because I don't think it would have worked out. We had this band fall semester when Ryan was in the position.
Got it. So like 2019.
Yeah. I forget exactly when, but the band was Jeb Bush Orchestra. They're like a funk band. They're kind of like Wolfpack, if you know Wolfpack. Yeah, and they were awesome. They were like the best band I've ever been in a room with. I would have loved to have them come back and do something with us, but and like they had a great time here too. Like, I would have loved to reach out back out to them. Who else would I hit up? So who's someone different I would have hit up? So many. Look, I almost want to pull up my list and like go through it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I might as well.
It's one of those, like this weekend, a lot of my friends were asking questions about that. Like, who would you have at your Socratic table? I think that's the phrase. And it's like anybody dead or alive, who would you have sitting at your table with you just to talk? So basically that, but for a live session.
Yeah, I got you. I'm realizing I actually deleted the one where I had all my ideas on it, but I can just go off the top of my head then. I don't know, it's really tough because there's just so many people I wanted to reach out to who I couldn't. And like I said, a lot of them are Connecticut based. But any, you said anybody. So I guess I don't need to, I guess I don't need to restrict myself.
Yeah, it can be literally anyone.
I know that if I got, I really like a lot of like punk rock music and kind of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I know if I had gotten to have a semester where I was calling in full bands, it would be a lot of bands like that. Mm-hmm. My favorite band is this band Pup. They're crazy. They just like, their live shows are great. Like I love shows with like moshing and stuff, which is obviously very not coronavirus friendly. And I wouldn't endorse having that kind of show right now. Yeah. Like I said, and I've said this many times, as much as I wish I could, but I would love to have that kind of, Pup. Mm-hmm. I actually just found their band in the, I just found their CD in the record room too.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like in the studio. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't even know about, that we had.
Yeah. I've never actually, you know, I've been in the big room so many times. It's where we had news department meetings for the last three years. But I've never actually looked through any of those records or any of the
Never series. At all. Never. Yeah, there's so it much. Like, I remember the first couple times I looked through them, I was just like, there's so much. I can't find anything I want. And it's just, I think it's just a virtue of like being able to spend time in the station, which is another reason why I'm so grateful for this position, because the station is absolutely my favorite place on campus. And all of the time I get to spend there is just the best. And I sometimes I'll look through the records if I'm just bored and have some downtime or whatever. Sometimes I'll find stuff I like actually, but like there's so much, it's tough. Yeah. There, some of them are just funny though. Like I thought about like going in the station and posting, like, cause I have our Instagram store. I have access to our Instagram, and I thought about just posting like the weirdest ones I could find on like the Instagram story whenever I was in there. We never got around to doing that though. That's such a good idea. Yeah. There's one that was really funny. It's Aretha Franklin with Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay.
He's their guitar player. And just like the cover is just so funny. Like his facial expression is like, his eyes are like so big. Like it's like he's like on drugs, like obviously. Like, and he's just like, it's just such a funny picture. Like I don't know how to explain it without like showing it to you. No.
Yeah. Know? No, you should definitely like put that on your list of stuff to do before.
Just like publishing the funniest records I can find in the big room. That would be great, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who's listening, potentially watch out for that on our social media. Now you're obligated.
Potentially. Now I'm obligated. Yeah, you got me.
So obviously, like you were saying before, there's a lot of audio mixing, stuff like that, that comes with being live productions director. Is that like a hobby of yours, or is that something that you kind of want to do something with in the future?
I mean, yeah, I, like I said before, I love music and I love doing like stuff with music. I don't necessarily like record my own music per se. I do play the drums sometimes. So it's like helpful to know all this stuff because, you know, I can record that and like I know how to use like Logic as software and stuff, but, and like, I've done, like, I've helped people mix things before, like that they wanted to release. I don't think I want to do it professionally per se, but you know, it's just something I enjoy doing and I'm going to continue to do as like a hobby. And I have learned a lot from this position about it. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, before I wrap it up, what is one thing that you are looking forward to from now until the end of the week? We'll just end it on a high note.
From now until the end of the week.
Yeah. What's one thing?
I was going to say this interview, because I was super grateful when you reached out to me. I honestly wasn't sure why you would be interested at first, but you know, like I kind of get it. Like I see what you mean. Like this is, it's definitely, I'm definitely in a unique position. Like this is the only job I've ever had that I like actually like
that's awesome.
So far.
That's
yeah. And like, I think, like I said, I've been kind of struggling with the recruitment aspect of it, just because I haven't had anybody to recruit really. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think those people are out there. I think they definitely are, because this job is awesome. And whoever ends up here is definitely going to enjoy themselves. But, you know, so thank you. Thank you for reaching out to me.
Yeah, of course. It's been great talking to you. You know, this is...
Yeah, it's been great talking to you.
A really awesome aspect of WHUS that you said, like, you know, a lot of radio stations do live sessions, but we also broadcast ours live, which is really cool. And yeah, I just think more people should be able to know about what you're doing for the station, because the content that you and Casey, our multimedia director, together are creating, it's awesome. Yeah. So, you know, if anyone wants to check those out, those are at our YouTube channel, right?
Yep. We upload everything to our YouTube channel, occasionally put one on the Instagram too, just a short, like a single song occasionally. But yeah, we're really trying. That was a big thing I think we emphasized, me and Casey kind of agreed on, is that we kind of wanted to grow the YouTube channel as much as we could, just because we knew we weren't going to be making as many sessions. So we kind of wanted to ramp up some aspect of the quality. So we started just releasing all the songs from it, like individually and stuff, and just trying to get as many of, like, as much of our stuff out there as possible. And gotcha. Yeah.
Well, great work this semester. I know I've seen the sessions. They're all awesome. So everybody.
Thank you so much.
But
I appreciate that so much.
Of course. Thank you again for coming on Husky Nation News. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. You too.
I'd like to thank Andrew once again for chatting with me this week. It was great getting to learn more about his position as Live Productions Director at WHUS. And if you're interested in checking out some of the awesome studio sessions that he's helped put together, you can head on over to the WHUS YouTube channel. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music. And as always, thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a fantastic weekend.